You coach individuals on how to take the leap or even how to secure a side hustle so that you do have that financial freedom. What are a few things that people should look for if they are considering either starting a side hustle or they're considering going fully into a business full time?
So I looked for something that everybody needed, and no matter what, it needed to be recession proof. Number one, the math is needed. And number two, you also have to make sure that it's a necessity. For me, I looked at consumable goods, you know, things matter what, again, good times, bad times, no matter what people are going through, they need to make that purchase. So it wasn't about having to come up with a need. You need everyday consumable products. The only question is, would they enjoy your products that you represent?
There's so many keys that you shared right there that I think not just for people that are considering a side hustle or business, but people that are running businesses today, right? Talking about you have to be able to solve a need that's big enough that you can create that mass desire, right? How many people actually need what you serve, whether it's a service or product? And the more people that need it, of course, the more income opportunity for you and impact, which I think is so critical.
Welcome to The Takeover with Tim and Cindy, where we show you how to dominate every area of life and business. Let's get winning.
Welcome back to The Takeover with Tim and Cindy. Today, ladies and gents, I have a special guest. Myrna Atha is such a phenomenal woman that I met at an event, and I had to get her on the podcast because she has an incredible story. And even more than that, she is an individual that has achieved success. Her and I were talking right before this, and it's not just about a campaign or somebody that's here today, gone tomorrow. Myrna has been through the entire process and has so much wisdom and lessons to share with us today. So Myrna, for the last 30 years, has helped hundreds of people create side hustles and additional income streams that take them from being reliant on a job to true financial freedom through her global health and wellness company. She's a seven-figure e-com and online business expert, and her work has helped people create legacy and live what she calls extraordinary lives. So excited to have you on The Takeover, Myrna. Welcome.
Awesome. I'm so excited to be here and to be able to visit with your audience today, Cindy.
Yes, I have so many good questions to ask you. So I'm going to be picking your brain. I know you have a lot to share with our audience. Let's start off with, how did we get here? Paint the picture for us on your winning journey.
Awesome. Awesome. I know, you know, it's hard for me to even imagine that we're 30 years. This year is 30 years. I didn't know where time goes, but it certainly does go by quickly, as they say. And 30 years ago, I mean, well, let me paint a vision for where I was at. I'm Canadian, and my husband, Mark, and I actually also got married 30 years ago. So in 2 months, we're celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary. And I found myself in a situation I never thought I would find myself. And that was, we were going through a terrible recession in Canada. Where we lived in Alberta was hit more than other areas because that province all relies on oil and gas. And we had a recession going on. So Mark was a real estate agent. I was a district sales manager for a retail chain in Canada. Actually, it was here in the US as well, Lady Foot Locker. I'm going to date myself, but that's what I was doing. Regional sales manager, and it was tough. And we thought, what are we going to do? I mean, banks were taking back homes. So Mark wasn't selling any real estate, and nobody was in the mall just, you know, spending money on extra outfits and tennis shoes. And we actually had invested just shy of $100,000 in a traditional business. And we were 28 years old. So a lot was going on. And we found ourselves with my car parked 3 blocks away. The bank was looking for it. We were paying minimum balances on things. And it was terrible. I mean, crying at night and thinking, how did we end up here? But it wasn't because of anything we had really done to ourselves. It was just what was going on in the world, you know? And it's very similar to what we're experiencing now, you know, with inflation, recession, and all that's happening. So we were financially struggling and we were feeling pretty beat up, you know, married such a short time. And, you know, what are we doing? So we had to look for something. We thought there's got to be something out there that we can do part-time just to alleviate some of that financial stress. So this is kind of a fun story because I don't think most people do what we did. And what we did, Cindy, is we ran an ad in the Globe and Mail newspaper in Canada. It's like USA Today. It goes coast to coast. And okay. It was little lines. And it just said, I'm an aggressive entrepreneur looking for business ideas. Wow. It was crazy. Like, quite honestly, we set up a post office box and we received over 300 responses from an ad. But you know what? There's a lot of teaching in that journey because who would do that? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like really seeking because we wanted to see what's out there. We wanted to be open-minded. And I think that's one of the things that can really catch some people. Like they're not really open-minded. They maybe have tunnel vision or they struggle thinking outside of their own box. And we just thought, what the heck? Let's see what's out there. Maybe there's something that we could do on the side to help alleviate that financial stress. So that started the journey.
Wow. Incredible. So from those 300 ideas that you got, did you select one? What happened next?
Yeah. So you know what? There was a lot of crazy, crazy things. And I would say we looked at probably about 36 things seriously where we really did our due diligence. With that said, honestly, we really didn't find anything. And that was the crazy thing. I mean, there was lots of things that we thought, oh, we could maybe do that for a little while and make some money. But we kind of put a wish list together, maybe, if you will, Cindy, that it was like, we wish we could find a company that had all these different things. Mm-hmm. And so nothing was really had all the things, right? There were some things, but not all the things. Yeah. So we were, just kind of going back and forth with maybe there's something here. And there was in the newspaper, Mark actually was reading it, kind of seeing where the ad was placed, our ad. And he read this ad that said Inc. 500 company new to Canada. And there was a phone number. So he thought, I wonder what that's all about. And he called the phone number. Well, the crazy thing is it didn't ring anywhere. Like there was no message. There was no phone ringing. There was nothing. And he thought, well, that's really strange. Like, why would somebody run an ad and the phone number doesn't work? Now, I don't know what everyone's beliefs are that are listening in, but we definitely believe in divine intervention. And this story is exactly that. Because for whatever reason, Mark cut the ad out and put it on the fridge right under a magnet. And throughout the course of about a week, he called it 2 or 3 more times. And then the phone weekend, I said to him, what are you doing with that ad? You might as well just throw it out. Like, obviously that person, maybe the company already went out of business. Like, it sounds like some sort of crazy thing. And he said, I'm just going to call it one more time. And he called it. And this time there was a recording. And this young lady left her name. She said, hi, you've reached Kim. Leave your name and number. So Mark left a message and just said, you know what, Kim, I don't know if this is you that ran this ad, but I've been calling this number for a week. The first time I've actually been able to leave a message. And if it's you, call me back. Well, sure enough, Kim called him back that day. And it was this crazy story where she ran this ad. But way back then in 1994, you could actually set up what they called a ghost voicemail, where people leave a message, like you'd have a phone number, they could leave you a message and you could pick up those messages, but it didn't ring anywhere per se. And for whatever reason, the phone company messed up and they didn't get her line connected. So that entire week, she's running this ad and no one left a message.
Oh, I see.
Except that one time. I mean, just in itself, that he kept the ad, he kept calling it, and that she finally answered it. So from there, we took a deep look into what Kim was doing. And we were like, oh my goodness, it matches our wish list. Like this seemed to be the fit. And we didn't have anything to lose. There was no large investment or anything like that. So we decided to move forward. That's kind of how it all started. So we didn't just do something on a whim because we thought it would be fun. We really went looking for a business model that we could attach ourselves to, that we could create a repeat income. And that was the key. People use the word passive or residual. I like the word repeat income, where we could put our efforts into something and it could grow year on year on year. And we looked at the books. You know, if you're going to buy a business or do something, you need to know what's viable, like what could really work for you. And again, we only had part-time hours. So we had to find something that we could leverage our time. It was all about getting the car back in the driveway. As I mentioned, the car was parked blocks away, right? And we thought, we need to get out of debt. And having all the debt over our heads felt really terrible. And we thought, what can we do? That's why we went looking. We didn't want to declare bankruptcy, personal bankruptcy. So our first goal was to pay off credit cards, you know, people we owed money to, all those kinds of things. And so that took actually, it's kind of interesting. It was literally exactly 12 months, 1 year, when we earned six figures. So in our first year, we earned $136,000. Again, that was with part-time effort, 1994. Like, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot.
We had a lot of debt. So we were able to pay off all those bills. We used to joke and say our first goal was getting back to broke because being below broke was really awful. We were able to do that. And that's when it made sense that we didn't have any big, big bills that we could really go full time and be putting in that extra. But you know, that first year part time, I got to be honest, we didn't have a lot of free time. We worked hard, but we also worked really smart in order to leverage our time and look for people that were looking for us, if you will. We kind of went oyster shucking to start building our team and people that also wanted to learn and grow and build something. And 12 months is not a very long period of time, that's for sure.
It is not. So you all had a goal in mind for once we reach this point, we're going to go fully into it. And I know you coach a lot of individuals right now where you're at looking back. You coach individuals on how to take the leap or even how to secure a side hustle so that you do have that financial freedom. What are a few things that people should look for if they are considering either starting a side hustle or they're considering going fully into a business full time?
Yeah, there's so many things. And, you know, I encourage everyone to go to my website, myrnaatha.com. On there, you're going to see my checklist, my wish list, if you will, of things to consider. But just to share a couple with you, I think, you know, number one, really, is the business viable? So again, I think that people sometimes start things or get involved with things, and they don't really look at what's the demographics, who's going to purchase your product if it's a product, or who's going to use your service if it's a service. Yeah. So I wanted to find something, and this is my suggestion, that everybody needs. So there's a fun sailing if you want to saying, if you want to dine with the classes, deal with the masses. And that, I don't know, I heard that a million years ago, but it stuck in my head. So I looked for something that everybody needed. And no matter what, it needed to be recession proof. Okay, so think about that right now. For example, you know, Mark was a realtor. Well, you can make great money being a real estate agent. But when the economy shifts, guess what? Maybe you're not selling any real estate anymore. Most real estate agents I know, and I happen to know quite a few of them, it's a lot of them make a lot of money and they spend a lot of money. So they put themselves in trouble, you know, when a recession hits or inflation, things like that. So we were looking for something that, number one, the masses needed. And number two, you also have to make sure that it's a necessity. For me, I looked at consumable goods, you know, things matter what, again, good times, bad times, no matter what people are going through, they need to make that purchase. So it wasn't about having to come up with a need. You need everyday consumable products. The only question is, would they enjoy your products that you represent?
That's so good.
Right. And then the other thing is too, is if you're looking at a side hustle and joining a company, who's leading that company? What's their background, right? And also the other thing is what does that repeat purchase look like? You know, what's your average order? How many customers are coming back month after month? Because again, if you're selling real estate, I'll use that example again, not too many people buy a house every month. So there's no repeat income, right? I mean, maybe every 5 years people move or 10 years, but you know, you need to have something that is, again, a need for folks every single month.
So good. There's so many keys that you shared right there that I think not just for people that are considering a side hustle or business, but people that are running businesses today, right? Talking about you have to be able to solve a need that's big enough that you can create that mass desire, right? How many people actually need what you serve, whether it's a service or product? And the more people that need it, of course, the more income opportunity for you and impact, which I think is so critical, but not a lot of people talk about that. So I really wanted to highlight that for our listeners, because that is critical.
Excellent. You know, the other thing too, Cindy, is, you know, right now I seem to be attracting a lot of people in the real estate market again because of what's happening, but also a lot of people that have become coaches. I really believe in mentors and coaches. But the challenge is when money is tight, one of the first things people will give up is their self-development, if you will, you know, and those types of things. So a lot of coaches do really well with me because that's really what I do. And I get paid very well to do it, but not by the person I'm coaching. I coach people for free. The company I work with actually pays me mentoring bonuses to help other people be mentored. So it's a really cool concept that I can help people and they don't have to worry about that being an extra outlay of cash, if you will. So that's kind of cool too.
That's an interesting perspective. So for somebody that is a coach, because we do have a lot of our listeners that are coaches, what is one piece of advice that you would give them to make their service recession-proof, like you claim?
Well, first of all, most people become a coach because they really love helping people. Would you not agree?
Yeah.
You know,
yes, absolutely.
It's in their DNA. Like they're those people. And often they will focus on certain niche markets, which I think is wonderful. But their skill set, regardless of their niche market, is very similar. It doesn't matter what that is. So I would say that look for a side hustle that you love, that you can be passionate about, that you can take that beautiful skill set of being a coach and apply it to that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that transferable skill.
That transferable skill, exactly. So for me, being a district sales manager with Lady Foot Locker, you know, what was my job responsibilities? To hire, train, mentor, teach, coach. So I took that skill set and I applied it to this business here. And that's allowed me to become a 7-figure earner.
Incredible. I love that. And I think a lot of people don't think about transferable skills, right? I think where you are right now, if you're listening to this, even if you're working a job, you have skills that are transferable, right? It's thinking about and actually taking note of, being self-aware. What are my transferable skills? What are skills that I have that can be utilized in another industry or in another business opportunity? I think not too many people are self-aware. So the transferable skills aspect of it can sometimes get missed. And where you are right now, you probably have so many transferable skills. It's just about taking inventory.
Right. And you know what? That's such a great point. So maybe what some folks might want to do is ask someone that you currently work with, or that maybe is a friend of yours, share with me, what do you think some of my best skills are? Because maybe it can help them be more aware how others view them and what they're really great at.
So good. I love that. Ask a friend, ask someone you work with, take inventory. So
yes.
What were some of the most notable challenges for you? Because I want to prepare our listeners, if they are going to make that transition, potentially they've identified a business opportunity or a venture that they want to go fully into. Mm-hmm. What's on the other side of that opportunity, right? Meaning, what should they be aware of that's potentially coming as a challenge? Maybe talk through some of the challenges that you faced along that journey. If you can sign clients over video calls and need sales meetings, we'll set you up with the same ad-free outreach strategy that we use to get an extra 100 meetings a month, and alone has contributed multiple 7 figures to our revenue. Look, I can't promise you that you'll get those exact same results. There's a lot of overpromise, overhypey guarantees out on the internet today that rarely work and always have a catch. But the reality is, ladies and gents, how you operate your business, your market environment, your offer, and how well you implement the strategy may be different from ours. What I can say is that if you need sales meetings, this will work. You'll be able to use this to get meetings month over month, and you'll know exactly what to do to scale up your volume of meetings as needed. This is not a fly-by-night strategy. We've been using ad-free outreach for the last 5+ years. So if you're looking for something that is proven, reliable, and has stood the test of time, this is it. If you want to see how this can work for you, click the link in the show notes. You can learn more about this ad-free outreach strategy, and if it makes sense, book a call with our team.
Sure. Well, you know what? And I think it sometimes depends on what your business is. So kind of like we've already discussed is for a challenge. Well, let's say you're going to open up a dry cleaner. Okay. That's your business. Well, again, what are the challenges of having a dry cleaning business? Of course, everyone has clothes that need to be dry cleaned. But if, again, they're looking at their budget and they're dealing with inflation like we are right now, well, maybe they're going to do less dry cleaning, right? So you've got to take a look at how is it going to withstand the test of time, right? Is your business timeless? Is it a fad? Well, oh, I'm going to start a weight loss business. Well, here's the thing about a weight loss business. People join your business, they lose weight and then go away. Now you've got to find another customer. So it depends on what that business is. But some of the other challenges can also be your mindset. There's where the coaches come in, right? And the self-development. So do you believe you can? You know, there's that saying, whether you believe you can or can't, you're right. So do you believe you can? Do you believe that you've done your homework, right? When you have a bad day, you know, what's that look like? How are you going to get yourself out of that? My husband jokes all the time because I really don't let a lot of challenges affect me too much because I take a look at it and I go, okay, I'm very proactive. If something happens, I always take a look at it. All right, well, why did that happen? I look at myself first and foremost, always. Is it something that I could have avoided? Is it something that I created? Because it's ourselves, right?
Yeah.
That create those challenges. Where do I need to course correct? I'm always looking like, what's the pivot if something like that happens? I guess part of the challenges when I first got started was people's maybe negativity, you know, telling me, well, I don't know if that's going to work. There's an old saying about people sometimes, what is it? Misery loves company. Sort
of yeah. Misery loves company.
Misery loves company. It's like there's an analogy of, you know, when you have a pot of boiling water and you're going to boil some lobsters. If you throw three lobsters into the pot, you know what? And one tries to crawl out, the other two will pull him back in.
The other one's pulling. Yeah.
Pull back in. So I guess some of the challenges when I first started was the naysayers. Oh, I don't know if that's going to work. Oh, are you sure you want to do that? You know, all those kinds of things. And I don't think that people necessarily do that to be mean. Sometimes they just think they're going to save you.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't necessarily think that you actually found something that you can do and be wildly successful at. So I think some of the naysayers, those were some of the early challenges, but it kind of spurred me on too. It was like, okay, I'll show you.
Yes.
I knew that we had done our homework and all those things. So I just needed to believe that I could learn and grow. And I really did believe that. But then the other thing was, I found someone that had gone before me. I always think that you don't have to be the smartest kid in the class. Just sit beside the smartest kid in the class and copy all their notes, right? In school, they called that cheating. And now in life, we call it mentoring.
There you go. I love that.
So I found someone that had gone before me and had wild success. And I simply asked if they would mentor me. Growing up, I always looked at people that had mentors with kind of envy, I guess, because I never had anybody growing up that said, Myrna, follow me. Here's how you do it. And I didn't really have a lot of encouragement as far as like going to college as a child. My parents never talked about that. And they were wonderful parents, but there was never money for that. They never really said, what do you want to do when you graduate? It was kind of like, I mean, I started working at 15 and just kept on working. When I met people that had others kind of leading their way, if you will, I kind of felt like, gosh, why had nobody ever paid attention to me? You know, why had no one ever encouraged me? And I realized at that time that the mentor in my life was really life itself, becoming a good listener. You know, my mom taught me I have two ears and one mouth and I needed to listen more and talk less. So I started surrounding myself with people that I looked up to and watching them and listening to them. And that really helped me develop that attitude of I can learn and grow, but to ask for mentorship, to ask people to you know, take note, pay attention to me and show me the way. And that has served me really well in life. And I still do that today, even though I'm 30 years in my business, always people I can learn and grow from, for sure.
I love those two keys. So critical. One, naysayers. Don't listen to the naysayers. Even though they may have absolutely good intentions, they want you to be safe. They want you to be secure. They don't want you to make a mistake. Oftentimes, mm-hmm. those people, although the intentions are good, can hinder you from reaching your goals or going for your dreams. So it's being mindful of the criticism and taking it with a grain of salt. I think sometimes the criticism can teach you something and the naysayers can teach you something. But I think being mindful of, is this actually working out for my good? And going forward in spite of that negativity. And then the second thing you mentioned, mentorship. That is so powerful. And we talk a lot about mentorship on our show as well. How important it is to get around people that have done what it is that you want to do. You bypass a lot of the learning obstacles, right? And the challenges that you go through along the way simply because you have a mentor or a guide. So that is such powerful information. I want to transition a little bit. You are a seven-figure earner. Mm-hmm. What keys led to that success? Because not everybody gets to that point. For you, in your opinion, what do you think led to that?
Yeah, great question. Well, first of all, the business model that I'm a part of. So, you know, it really is a business that anybody can win at if they decide to make that decision to do it. I thought, why not me? Why not now? Because I'd seen the numbers, seen the vision of success and what I needed to do that. So that's number one, is the whole business model. But the other thing is, again, looking for people like me. I've built a massive team of winners, of people with success. So I'm looking for people that are looking for me. So really putting myself in environments like where I got to meet you, Cindy, where there's those people in the room. And since the pandemic, that's kind of changed a lot of times. The room is Zoom, right?
Yeah, the Zoom room.
The Zoom room, exactly. But sometimes you got to get a little uncomfortable to then become comfortable, if that makes sense, or get out of balance to get into balance. So I was really willing to work hard and work smart. I mentioned that earlier, but to make sure that I could inspire others that would want to join me, because my business is so much about creating an environment of people winning together. Which I absolutely love. And, you know, a lot of people talk about leaving a legacy. And I've always kind of changed that. I like to say living a legacy. And what I mean by that is I want to bring as many people with me as possible. You know, I want to help people dream again. I think that, again, since the pandemic, a lot of folks have had a hard time doing that. It's kind of like they've lost their mojo. They're still behind their Zoom. They're not going out and meeting people. They're not surrounding themselves with healthy environments. Depression is on the rise. All those things. And they've got to make that decision to change. So I really got out of my comfort zone, started being around more people, having more conversation. And that has led to me finding amazing people to partner with. You know, in this last couple of years, I learned the LinkedIn platform. It's absolutely fantastic. And I've attracted so many awesome women from LinkedIn. It's crazy. And I just love having those authentic conversations with folks. And on that platform, I've really attracted some great people. So it's looking for the things that you want to do that you can be passionate about that can help you learn and grow and build your business. What's led to the income? It's not easy, but it's simple. You have to want to do it.
What would you say? There's some people are given the opportunity, right? Potentially have bought into the kind of business that you're doing, but they don't hit that seven-figure mark. They are given the same opportunity, but they don't achieve the same outcome. What separates you, Myrna, from the rest?
Well, you know what? You've probably heard the saying that some people are afraid of success. Well, here's what I find. I find that because the majority of people I work with me part-time. They really do. And they can earn 5 and 6-figure incomes with a part-time effort. But what's interesting to me is that I so often see, so let me give you an example. Let's say someone earns $7,000 a month at their job or profession. Well, I get them to $7,000 a month with a part-time schedule, and now they're making $14,000 a month and they stop. They're like, wow, you know, rather mm-hmm. than maybe leaving behind that job or profession that's earning the $7,000 to make 14,000 here, or 20,000, or 30,000, or 50,000 a month, it's kind of like they stop themselves from going above the ceiling that they currently attained. So, I mean, listen, an additional 7,000 a month is pretty awesome, but I'll tell you this, if I can get you to 7, I can get you to 14 way quicker than I got you to 7, because now you've got some skill set underneath your belt. Yes. So it's kind of like they stop themselves from dreaming what can be. I really have to give my husband, Mark, the credit there, because when he left the job and became a real estate agent, it was up and down, let me tell you, because that's how real estate is. But it helped me to believe that earning 20,000 a month or 30,000 a month was possible. I can't say I had that belief when I started, because, you know, in 1994, that last full year of having a job at Lady Foot Locker and Retail, I earned $60,000. Now, that was pretty great back in 1994, but I'd never had a month where I earned 20 or 30,000. So I believed that Mark could do that, right? In real estate. I wasn't sure that was a possibility, but I did believe again that I could learn and grow. So I thought, you know, if that person did it, why couldn't I do it? I mean, because I saw the possibility.
Yes, yes. You know what I call that? The internal thermostat. You may have heard that term. It's like we have this internal setting that we believe what is possible for our goals or our careers or our finances. And the moment we start to reach the limit of what we think is possible, we stop or we retreat or we stop doing the activities, right? And that's kind of similar to what you're talking about, is people will reach that limit and be like, okay, I'm good here, because of that thermostat. And one thing that you mentioned, when you see that it's possible from seeing somebody else do it, it raises that belief in you. And so that's why I feel like it's so critical to surround yourself with people that are thinking, doing, operating at different levels, because that forces that belief lid in yourself to rise.
Yes.
How do you, if you know, for some people that are listening, they have maybe reached a certain level of success and they're comfortable and they feel good and they're happy with where they're at. Do you feel that it is important to continue to push the boundaries or to continue to step out of your comfort zone on the journey to success?
Yes. I think it's all about their why. You have to have a deep down burning desire, a why, if you will, to do it. And, you know, like I shared when Mark and I got started, it was all about getting the car back in the driveway, you know, earning a certain amount of money. That was the why. Well, that's not the why anymore, right? So you've got to have something that makes you jump out of bed and do it today. So it's got to be something bigger than yourself. And for me, like I say, it's about you. It's about, I'm looking for people that I can help. So I'm always thinking, who can I help and how can I help them? Because it's their why and their story that now drives me to help them and to mentor them. So you got to have a why. You know, there's a book out there, right? It all begins with why. And I think that why changes in your journey of success.
That's so good. I've never heard somebody mention, I've heard the why for sure, and how critical it is on the journey to success. But I haven't heard somebody mention how important it is to revisit that why, because it changes, right? What might have been your motivation 10 years ago and what is today, it's very different. So you have to keep constantly evolving and revisiting what your why is to keep that burning desire for your goals.
Well, I know that that's exactly what you and Tim have done, right? I mean, because you started your business out of necessity and you had an opportunity. And I'm sure it's changed as you've been growing your business with such success as well.
Absolutely. Yes. I have two more questions for you. I want to talk about leadership, because you've spoken about building teams, and it is so critical and so important on the journey for winning to build a team and to have the right people in your corner and to surround yourself, as you've been talking about, with people that, you know, have the same mindset, that want to win and thrive. How do you select or choose people that you surround yourself with, and more specifically, the people that you have on your teams?
Mm-hmm. Such a great question. I think as a leader, there's a lot of different characteristics that we could probably list as far as leadership goes. And I love leading by example. So I'm always looking for people that want to learn and grow. Again, I've used that term quite a bit, but that want more, that have had success under their belt. And listen, success might be that they're a great mom or dad And they're very involved in the day-to-day with their kids, and they're leading the PTA and doing all those kinds of things. I look for leadership qualities, if you will. So, and I look for people with work ethic, right? And for people that are looking to maybe pivot or add more to their life, they want more, they want to lead others. There's so many different things with that. But I really believe that it's sort of like those personality traits I look for as well. Are they a good listener? You know, again, do they want to lead? I'm looking for people, again, I said it, that are looking for me, people that want change, people that are looking for someone to mentor and lead them, people that are looking for someone like myself that's gone before them, but they're not resting on the sidelines. They're still in the trenches. They're still leading by example. I don't want to meet someone and say, well, I've done it. You know, here's the manual, go do it. I want to work with someone that I can link arms with them and take them along that journey and show them the way. I love doing that.
So good. Last question. The takeover is all about how do you dominate and win in all areas of life and business? So Myrna, what does winning mean to you?
Oh my gosh, winning. I think being the best version of myself is winning. And I work at doing that every single day. I want to inspire others. I mean, I just turned 58. So my motto this year is great at 58. I have so much to give. And I want to keep doing that. I think for me, that is winning. Being passionate about what I do and who I do it with, living that legacy. That's what I'm super passionate about.
Amazing. Living the legacy, where the legacy is not just someday, it's today. You're living in it. Such powerful wisdom that you shared, Myrna. Thank you so much for being on the show. How can our listeners get in touch with you? What is the best way?
Awesome. Well, you know what? I'm all over LinkedIn, so you can find me there and message me there. Also, MyrnaAtha.com. And just reach out. You know, I love conversation. And I think sometimes people are afraid of conversation. So come have a conversation. Let's have a Zoom coffee. If you're not here in the local area, I live in Arizona. If you're local, gosh, let's grab lunch. Let's grab coffee. Let's just meet one another. I love building relationships because connecting others is something else I'm super passionate about. And you just never know, you know, when you get to meet somebody great. So yeah, I would say LinkedIn or my website, reach out, say hi, and let's get to know one another.
I love that. I met Myrna at an event. Let me tell you, ladies and gents, she is incredible. Definitely somebody that you want to connect with. So when you message her on LinkedIn, Myrna Atha, make sure that you mention that you listened to her on The Takeover with Tim and Cindy. Connect with her. She's an amazing Scottsdale, one of my favorite places. But Myrna, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you for all the wisdom that you shared with our listeners. I know it was such a powerful conversation with so many gems and takeaways, and we appreciate you.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
There you have it, ladies and gents. This was Cindy with The Takeover. Remember, domination is not a destination. It's a way of life. Stay winning.